This is Dori Smith for Regime Change Radio with a follow-up to my half-hour conversation with Jennifer Lowenstein, March 10th, 2004. Lowenstein was the founder of Madison Rapha Sister Cities, and as our discussion was drawing to a close, she reinforced again the importance of contacting elected representatives to ask that they join more than 50 members of the House seeking a full investigation into the death of Rachel Corrie in Rapha in the Gaza Strip, March 16th. You can find information about contacting your representatives at www.endtheoccupation.org or call the Congressional Switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121 to urge your representatives to add their name to the growing list of supporters of HCR 111. In this final part of our discussion, Jennifer Lowenstein also describes the work of the Sister City organization she founded between Madison, Wisconsin, and Rapha in the Gaza Strip. You can learn more about that group by logging on to the website www.madison-rapha.org. That's www.madison-rapha.org. And you can contact Jennifer Lowenstein by email at jsarin@wiscmail.wisc.edu. Again, Jennifer Lowenstein is a journalist and human rights activist teaching at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. She visited Rapha in January 2004 and wrote about her trip in the January 2004 issue of Counterpunch. You can read her article online at www.counterpunch.org. Lowenstein was a contributor to the new book, The New Intifada, edited by Roan Carey of The Nation magazine. Other contributors to that book include Edward Said, Noam Chomsky, and Allison Weir. If you would like further information on the topic of the occupied territories, Jennifer Lowenstein recommends the following websites: the Madison Rapha Sister City Project, madison-rapha.org, electronicintifada.net, palestinechronicle.com, antiwar.com, counterpunch.org, and zmag.org. The 23-year-old peace activist from Evergreen State University, Rachel Corrie, was standing in front of the home of a Palestinian and using her body to try to keep a bulldozer from demolishing it. It was a tactic she and others in the international solidarity movement had used before, but this time the Israeli Defense Force member ran over her. Two other members of the same peace group have died in the occupied territories in the past year, and others have been wounded. Jennifer Lowenstein follows up on her sentiments about supporting HCR 111 and what we can do March 16th.
I strongly urge people to contact senators, representatives, local, national politicians. I think it's very, very important for people to say, you know, this woman's death deserves a real investigation, because what happened to it is being covered up. It's a criminal cover-up by the Israelis and subsidized, so to speak, by the Americans by ignoring it. It's very important for people to urge that this be resolved in a just manner. It's also very important for people to realize that Rachel Corrie is a symbol of a struggle that is ongoing, that is serious, and that we, all of us as taxpayers, should be taking an interest in, because we're funding it.
Now, let's talk a little bit finally about the International Court of Justice at The Hague and the fact that the Palestinian and Israeli sides will be coming together there to talk about the apartheid wall, as you called it.
Mm-hmm. Last I heard, the Israeli High Court pretty much annulled the International Court of Justice's actions and ruling on the wall. They basically said that it wasn't going to matter, that they wouldn't abide by any decision that was made. That, to me, strikes me as completely consistent with Israeli policies vis-a-vis international law.
You know, it might surprise a lot of people to learn that the Reagan administration effectively did the same thing when the International Court of Justice found them culpable about an attack in Latin America that they were found guilty of a war crime, and the Reagan administration declined jurisdiction. This was pretty outrageous, but it's very much the same thing, isn't it?
Well, yes, and I mean, let's to be perfectly fair, Israel has pretty much violated countless resolutions, international legal resolutions, United Nations resolutions, again and again for the past 5.5 decades. However, no country comes close to the number of violations of international law that have been made as the United States. It is, in other words, the United States is the first offender, not Israel, although Israel certainly comes in, I believe, for a close second.
I want to ask you to talk about the Sister City Project that you're involved in and describe the success there, because I know that there's nothing that can substitute person-to-person contact in a situation like this.
Well, the Sister City Project was founded in February 2003. That was last year. A group of us in Madison, Wisconsin, decided we did want to try to get an official Sister City relationship between Madison and a Palestinian city. We chose Rafa primarily because I had the number of contacts that I have there in the municipality and with people in various organizations. And it seemed, to make sense not to have to start from scratch. There were a couple of other people here in Madison who had been to the Gaza Strip and knew the city. So that's why we chose Rafa, also because of the fact that it is the poorest city in all of the Palestinian territories and has been one of the most hard hit since the outbreak of the Intifada. We began, so I said, in February, and we've done a lot of outreach, education. We've shown documentaries, brought in a number of speakers, and this in January was our first delegation there, so that now we have a number of projects set up, people-to-people projects with the Ministry of Education, with various schools, with an organization called Human Appeal that does child and family sponsorship projects, urban agricultural projects. And I'm very, very happy about this, about these contacts. What worries me, once again, is that getting into the Gaza Strip is so difficult. We want to send another delegation there relatively soon, but this takes a great deal of perseverance now. It's very, very hard to get any official group, official or unofficial, into the Gaza Strip. So that's what we're up against now.
Do you have a lot of willing people who would like to go there? I mean, I have to say again, it's been chilling, reading about what you found in Rafah.
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. I'm actually very impressed by the number of people who would like to go. There are some people who would like to go whose spouses have basically said, not a chance. I of course, understand that. It is quite an experience to go to Rafah, or for that matter, to any place in the occupied territories. On the other hand, at the risk of sounding contradictory, I felt when I lived in Gaza before and going to Rafah this time that the chances of something happening to me personally were relatively slim. I was not putting myself on the front lines. I was not deliberately walking in front of a watchtower. Now, things happen there that you have no control over. There's no question of that. I was fired at, when I was with a group of people indiscriminately, and this happens all the time. At the same time, life goes on there. People are living their lives to the best of their ability. They try to get up and go to work and go to school, and there are 100,000, 130,000 people living in Rafah who have to go on, and there's a part of me that feels that if they can do it, I can certainly visit for a few days and try to show some kind of solidarity with them. And there are people here in Madison, I think, who feel exactly the same way, and as I said, I'm very, very happy about that. The group of people working in the Madison Rafah Sister City Project is excellent. People who are very dedicated, very hardworking, and we've actually accomplished a great deal in the last year.